Live. Made in Sheffield. Made by you.
Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082. Do you like Sheffield Live? Why not become a friend of Sheffield Live? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and friends of Sheffield Live are people in the community who make a regular donation to keep Sheffield Live on the air. Join the Friends of Sheffield Live by writing to friends@sheffieldlive.org or go online to sheffieldlive.org/
friends. Welcome to Sweet Talking Sport. And another evening full of, let's just say, activity. And I've got CV with me. And it's just sporting a different kind of voice. Let's just say this is CV in a different style. Wham, CV.
Yeah. I'm right.
Yeah, he likes to say somebody choke him, you know.
Voice is not too good today. Not too good. But still.
And just taking five failed a fitness test this evening. Yeah. So, you know.
We did have to bench him.
He'll be kind of like missing. You're just going to have to bear with us with CV and his different style of vocal impressions. I can assure you, it is the man called CV, Mr. V, the educator, yeah? And it's not no imposter. I can vouch for that right now, right here on Sheffield Live, Sweet Talking Sport. Yeah, 2 minutes past the hour of six. Do you know what? I want to start the show with a very, very sad story about Mark Townsend, who was 57, sadly passed away during the game at Hillsborough last week. The Owls played West Bromwich Albion last Saturday. Now, when you leave for a football match, you expect to come home. But Mark sadly didn't make it back home on that Saturday evening. Mark, who suffered a medical emergency in the stand, and his brother Steve has called for a full inquiry into the club's failing and the lack of safety protocols. Steve has criticised the club for not stopping the match. Steve has claimed staff didn't have sufficient training to handle the emergency. The incident commentator announced a commotion was taking place in the away end of the stadium. Within minutes, he received a call from his son informing him that his brother had collapsed and no longer breathing. Like I said, this is a very, very sad story. Whilst listening on the phone, he heard fans attempting to administer CPR for about 10 minutes before the paramedics arrived. People were shouting at the stewards, "This is urgent." Key points: why the match wasn't stopped. Another key point: the length of time it took medical staff to reach Mark. Steve is calling for coroners to carry out a full investigation into his brother's death. Now, the English Football League, EFL, said clubs have match day medical plans in place. A spokesperson for EFL said stopping of play may sometimes seem like the most appropriate action to take if it doesn't raise further safety and privacy issues with regards to policies, crowd monitoring and media, etc. Therefore, unless the welfare of the supporter or supporters is in question, specifically affected by continuation of the match, play should continue. Now, there's been funds raised by a Sheffield Wednesday supporter. The last time I heard it was about 2,300. And according to the FA, the referee can stop a football match for a number of reasons. Now, like I said, there's a number of reasons, but I've kind of like just looked at a couple here. And I'm going to talk about rule number 5 in football. Each match is controlled by a referee who has full authority to enforce the laws of the game in connection with the match. Okay? I'm going to look at law 18 in football. Referees are expected to use their judgment and common sense in applying the laws. Now, these are the takeaways for me. The law, much like rules, laws are a set of instructions put in place to keep people safe and maintain order in society. I just want to look at this, what I've just said. I'll say it again. A set of instructions to put in place to keep people safe. Yeah? Was Mark Townsend, was he kept safe? You know, key difference between the rules and the law is where it comes from or who made it. So, you know, it's not the first time we've had a tragedy at Hillsborough. Obviously, we had the Hillsborough disaster. It's not that what I want to go into. It's 10 minutes it took the emergency services to attend to Mark. That's 10 minutes too long. And it says that the referee, he's the one who's got the authorization, the authority, the power, you could say, to stop the game. What would it have took? Because, you know, the fans were going crazy saying, you know, this is urgent. And obviously that's going to affect the players. The players would have been aware of that. Maybe not as happening, but as people are gathering and seeing commotion, I mean, they're not going to be focused on the game. And if the players aren't focused on the game, I don't think the referee would be neither. Well, and he could have stopped that game quite easy.
There's no game, is there? If there's no attention, if the players are obviously watching what's happening in the crowd, it ceases to be a game. Now, as far as I'm aware, as you've just quite rightly pointed out, the referee could have stopped that game and allowed, right, whoever it was, paramedics or whatever, to see to this gentleman. What my problem is why it took so long for the paramedics to get there, because my understanding is, like you've said, there are paramedics in the ground. So why did it take them so long to get to that point? I mean, obviously the crowd were reacting, the crowd was saying, look, come on, this is serious, this, we need somebody. Why did it take them so long to get there?
Yeah. Very sad. Like CV saying, I just echo that, 10 minutes too long. I mean, there's thousands of supporters up and down the country, all over the world, what go to these kind of sporting events, what draw big crowds.
Yeah.
And this could happen to anybody.
You're right.
Any time.
It could happen to me tomorrow.
You know? So it's God's belief that, you know, why it took so long. I mean, you know, like I said, according to the FA, referees can stop a football match for a number of reasons. It's just saying you know, use your judgment and your common sense. So did that referee then use his judgment and common sense at that particular time? You know, I mean, how does he feel about it now? Because no doubt, you know, it'll not be a nice feeling. And also for the players involved in that game, the match officials, you know, each team and travelling supporters. And I think, you know, it just needs reviewing, you know, because it's such a sad thing. I mean, his brother listening to the kind of like chaos over the phone, people shouting at the stewards, people saying that, you know, they're not suitable or appropriately trained to deal with these situations.
Yeah, I heard that. I did hear that. I heard and that is
massive. That's a given. That in any situation like that, you'd have thought that, you know, somebody would come to his aid fairly rapidly. If the game did have got stopped, players then go to the side off the pitch. And it just lets people know that there's something urgent that has to be dealt with right here, right now, at that given time. And, you know, yeah, it's saying that it's not, I'm going to say at the moment it says it's not a given for the game to be stopped, but it should be a given. They've got, you know, walkie-talkies. They've got kind of them kind of like mobile devices where you can get messages from A to B quicker than I blink. So why the hell that game wasn't stopped there and then? You know, it's a sweet-talking sport. Just gone 12 minutes past six to be precise. Got CVG, failed a fitness test. And just this discussion, having a discussion here about why this game was not stopped. And we can just kind of feel for anybody connected with Mark Townsend. You know, but yeah, blessings go out to anybody who knew him. Who had to kind of experience that. Enough respect for the Wednesday fan for, you know, starting that donation. Like I said, the last time I was aware, it's probably over 2,300, wow. And that will go towards Mark's family.
That's good, that.
That's wicked. So, yeah. Yeah, from one situation to another. I don't know if you can remember Michael Schumacher apparently made his first public appearance in 10 years when he attended his daughter's wedding in Mallorca. Schumacher continues to have round-the-clock medical care after his life-changing skiing accident back in December 2013. I think it was just after Christmas, so I'm sure it was about 29th of December, he suffered a severe brain injury, having hit rocks in the snow. Former Ferrari F1 driver, also drove for Mercedes, also podium finishers record 155 times. Enough champers there. But the number one all-time racing great is Lewis Hamilton, rated as the best F1 driver to have graced the circuit. Schumacher rated number two in the world. I watched a bit of the boxing shenanigan last Saturday involving Michaela Mayer, who fought Sandy Ryan, the Brit. I'm not sure if you saw any of that, CV.
No, I didn't see it.
But it was when Ryan alleged that she had a load of paint thrown all over her.
Really?
Yeah. So she said that it kind of, the paint was thrown when she came out of a hotel on the way to the boxing arena in Madison Square Garden last Saturday. Mayer has called fresh allegations against her by Sandy Ryan, the Brit, Michaela of US, following a pain incident which caused concern in their fight. Like I said last weekend, Ryan was hit with a can of paint before the fight. So, I mean, people were saying whether it was crown paint or whether
or Johnson
or R&B. And I mean kind of like if that is the case, that you know, somebody's dashed some paint over her, I mean, is that enough to use as an excuse that, you know, you kind of like haven't won the fight? I mean, she lost her WBO welterweight world title, the tear up with Michaela, like I said, in New York, Madison Square Garden. Michaela dethroned the WBO champion Ryan. And also, another twist to this, they said that the feud started when Ryan actually got trained by Michaela's team. She went over there and did some training. So
was it like she was sparring with them?
Say again?
Was it like she was sparring with them?
No, it was properly training. She got trained by the trainers who trained Michaela.
Okay.
And I find that kind of a little bit odd, you know. So you've gone over there to the States to defend your title, WBO welterweight title, and then you've used some of their coaches kind of train.
Yeah.
I just don't get that one bit.
So where was her own coaches then?
I'm not sure what happened to them, whether they couldn't make the trip earlier, or whether she thought that they wasn't good enough, or whether it was just having a go at opponent.
I don't get that.
But I don't think that should be allowed, to be honest with you. I think it's absolutely crazy. But
what you're saying, I take it that she lost then.
Yeah, she lost the fight. Like I said, you know, she's saying it was because of the pain. I mean, after the fight, she was saying that it sort of like put her off, basically, in her stride. And it kind of like unsettled her. Maybe if it was Dulux, like I said, or Farah Ambal, or Leolan Triad, might have had a different outcome. But that is kind of like a bit bad, just to blame that, you know, that you've got paint thrown all over you. Not a good situation at all.
Not really. Because really, she's kind of, she's been training well for this fight, right? And then she's kind of crossed here, and then fling two crown paint pan her. Well, you know, I can understand that. I can understand, but I don't think that's enough to put you off from fighting. I don't know. I'm not a fighter.
No, I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right. I think for me, if that happened to me, obviously if I was a boxer, but I'm not, and if I was coming out of my hotel and somebody decided to fling some paint all over me, do you think that would put me off? That would just fuel me.
Yeah.
I would use that energy in the ring.
Yeah.
And I know that I'd be sticking it on my opponent.
I agree with that.
He'd be getting some kind of like some strokes, you know what I mean, around his forehead.
I would definitely agree with that. You'd be thinking to yourself, what? They're fling paint on me. No, man. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to I'm going to fling two punch in her. You know what I mean? Fling. You know, but at the end of the day, I don't know. I don't get it myself. But you're using their trainer as well.
Yeah.
Nah, I don't get that.
I mean, if somebody said to me, like if that was a fix or something, I'd be saying, well, yeah, there's something wrong with that. Because that's like, you know, a football coach going over and training the opposition who you're playing the following week. Now, that could never happen. You know, you've got a team around you, you know, your medical staff, fitness kind of staff, you know, conditioning staff, nutrition staff, and all that kind of stuff. And that's for you, you know what I mean? And whoever boxes in that camp. But to say that, you know, you're going over there and you're using your opponent's kind of like team to kind of like get you prepared for a fight against their opponent is just kind of like bang out of order. It's kind of crazy.
That don't make sense, that don't make, because it, like, they're now looking and seeing how she trains, how she throws a punch, all those kind of different tech, you know, tactics. Like, nah, that don't make sense to me.
Yeah, kind of a crazy one there for you. But, you know, that makes the world go round, I suppose. You know, without these kind of stories, where would we be, you know? Marcus Stewart. Can you remember Marcus Stewart?
Marcus Stewart used to play for Ipswich.
That's the one.
Yeah.
That's Marcus Stewart.
He's a madman. Well, I don't know if, what you're going to say, but my understanding is Marcus Stewart now is quite ill.
Yeah, that's right. Marcus Stewart said, "Mind lives with me. I don't live with mind. States that keeps him going." He also said he dealt with lots of disappointments quite easy when he played football. Marcus talked about dealing with his adversity, says it fuels him. And that's what we were just saying. That's what me and CV were talking about, that certain things would fuel you. Ryan, you know, was saying that she got paint flung all over her. That would fuel me. That would surely fuel anybody. But going back to Marcus, he says it's not a negative. And it's kind of a big thing for him. Big, strong striker. You know, was head of development at Yeovil Town. But best remembered, like CV said, at Ipswich. Played for them 2002 to 2002. 75 appearances, 27 goals he hit. You might also remember Marcus Stewart at Sunderland as well. 2002 to 2005 there. 102 appearances.
Yeah, I think that's when he was in the Premier League.
Mm-hmm. And 31 goals. And then going further back, Bristol Rovers he played for, 1991 to 1996. 171 appearances and 80 goals for Bristol Rovers. And it's kind of like, he's basically saying that, you know, he's got motor neurons disease. And, you know, anybody who has got that, it affects the nerves in the brain and also your spinal cord. Which is very sad. You know, it helps to tell you, your muscles, what to do. Mind, MND, that's what it's known for in short. Your movements will be affected and you are likely to get a wide range of symptoms. So, a big shout out for Marcus Stewart. He's like basically saying that he's not going to let anything like that put him down, and he looks at anything to do with adversity. It kind of helps to fuel him on his way. So big up to Marcus Stewart.
Yeah, he was a good striker. good striker.
He was. He was a very good striker. And you know, like I said, I probably do remember him best for Ipswich, but in Sunderland also as well. Big sort of powerful guy.
Quite prolific he was. To be fair, I kind of rated him to be fair.
Are you surprised that Stuart actually never played for England?
Yeah, but at the time when he was around, there was probably better strikers than him. I would have thought.
Yeah.
I would have thought at that period of time.
Yeah, yeah.
There might have been, you know, better strikers than him at that time. So. And at the time when you were playing for Ipswich, I don't know if Ipswich were in the Premier League then. I don't know if they... But what year was it when you played in
for Ipswich? Marcus Stewart played for Ipswich 2000 to 2002. 75 appearances with 27 goals.
No, I don't know if Ipswich were in the Premier League then.
I mean, sticking with Ipswich, I mean, they had some... Yeah, some toppers back in the days. I can remember Tyson and Murin. You know, them Dutch players.
Oh, well, that's a different era. You're talking about John Wall, Callum Brazil.
Yeah. That was...
Mariner.
Robson was...
He was the manager at the time.
Robson was manager, weren't he?
Yeah.
Mariner. Paul... Is it Paul Mainley?
Mariner.
Mariner, that's right, yeah.
He played up front.
Wow.
And then you had people like Alan Brazil.
Yes.
Who played up there as well.
Uh-huh.
John Walk.
Mm. Another powerful midfielder, John Walk, weren't he?
Even had the goalkeeper, decent goalkeeper, who then came to us after a bit. They called him Paul Cooper. He was a decent goalkeeper.
I can vaguely remember him, Paul Cooper.
And you mentioned my guy. Tyson?
Yeah. Murin.
Yeah, Arnold Murin.
Yeah. They kind of lit it up.
Well, they at the time when they had all them. I think they had Alan Mills as well.
Mills? Oh, Mick Mills.
Mick Mills.
Mick Mills, yeah. Oh,
sorry,
they were Dan. They were Dan.
They were, at that time, they were a very good side.
I mean, you can show... we can tell you how good they are because, I mean, I can vouch that I'm not an Ipswich fan. CV's not an Ipswich fan, but we can pick out them names, them household names, like you've never known, you know? And a big difference to where they are now. Okay, they're back in the top flight. They've picked up a couple of draws and stuff, Ipswich Town. But like we know, if you want to sustain your presence in the Premiership, you've got to spend some serious dollar. And I think just to maintain your Premiership status, I think you're talking 60, 70 million. And clubs what come up, they're just not prepared to kind of like splash that cash. And I can see what they're doing. They just become like a yo-yo club.
That's right.
And I think it's the modern day time to try to build up kind of like your foundations at your club. So it's like, okay, yeah, we'll upgrade our side or our team, our squad. And then we'll just try to maintain with the thought of the parachute payments looming also as well. So it becomes like a stepping stone. It's like we'll take two steps forward and we'll come back one. The one coming back is the relegation. And that's what they're doing. And I think that most of the fans don't really see it that way. I don't think they discuss football like CV and me, you know what I mean? And we try to look at kind of every kind of point, whether we're on air or whether we're off air. Obviously, most of our discussions about football come off air. And it's like, you know, Norwich City, they dealt with it, you know, up and down, up and down.
The,
you know?
What you call it, West Brom. They were another one.
Mm-hmm.
They come up and then they go back down. At the moment now, another one you could say is Burnley, because Burnley's another one. They a little bit too good for the championship. But when they come into the Premier League, they can't cope. They can't cope with the teams what are there.
Yeah, the established teams, and it's like what we were saying. I think there's a, you know, obviously we're talking about the Premiership, and there's little divides in that division.
There is.
Like you've got, say, obviously City, Arsenal, Liverpool, Chelsea
them.
Now.
You got to put them in there.
You definitely got to count them in.
Yeah.
Probably Tottenham might be just outside,
out there for me. I would put them in there.
But that's just my opinion.
I'd put Villa before them. I'd put Aston Villa before them.
So that's one kind of like little league in the Premiership. And then in the other little league below that, then you've got your Man United's in there quite easy.
Yeah,
Newcastle's in there.
Newcastle.
Yeah.
You could even put, let me see who you could put in there as well. I don't know. I was going to say you could have put Leicester in, but no, Leicester's just come up. So
I'd drop Leicester in the next section below that.
They would be in such as like...
Like your Southamptons as well.
Southampton,
I'd probably put Fulham in that little
in league with
Newcastle.
Yeah.
Because they have really kind of popped up recently. You know, which we'll talk about shortly. In fact, I mean, your guys have got a serious game on your hand against Fulham. Second v 6. Fulham have really shown up and leaving it on the pitch. And I think that they will cause problems for Man City at the weekend. You know?
I would say right now Fulham are playing well. Fulham are playing well. They've got some decent players now, right? And you're possibly right. They can cause most teams problems at the moment. But at home, I would fancy us at home against Fulham. That's just my opinion. I would fancy us at home against any team in the world. I would fancy us at home.
On current form, yeah, I'd go along with that. I mean, you've still got some big players out, but you've got a big squad anyway, like you'd expect then top of teams to have. I mean, De Bruyne is out, Ake, Rodri, as well as a few others. City, 16 consecutive wins in all competitions against Fulham. So if you look at the stats, Fulham got the work cut out, but I'm sure on current form, they'll be looking to put a fist and show up. You know, Sander Berger, ex-United player, ex-Burnley player, playing his trade at Fulham now. And there's a story about that because he'll be playing against his mate.
His good friend.
Yes, I am.
He's his good friend. Mm-hmm. Really is his good friend. And his good friend, I think most people don't know who his good friend is. And his good friend is the man himself, Mr. Haaland. Haaland and him are very good friends. When City played... I forgot. The team that was a big club at one time, Lord have mercy, what did they call them again? They were like a big club at one time, they used to dominate things and whatever.
What country?
In this country, they used to dominate things. And City played them. That's right, I forgot. Yeah, I know it is.
Yeah, I know what you're going with, man.
I know it is now. They played against Man United, yeah. In the first time we played them at Wembley in the cup, and Xander were there.
It's true.
Xander was there.
I mean, I should imagine, you know, like I said, if anybody's just linked into Sweet Talking Point. You have got CV. It's not an imposter. It's not somebody trying to take him off. It really is CV. And I thought you was gonna try to be one of them kind of vocal impressionists. I thought you was coming in at something like that until I saw you. But what kind of match prediction are you gonna talk about?
For City and Fulham,
yeah,
I'm expecting Manchester City to beat Fulham, to be honest with you.
What score?
I'm not saying that to beat them easy, but I'm expecting them to beat them, and my score would be a 2-1.
2-1, that suggests that it's going to be a very, very, very close game. And you know what? I'll probably go one extra for that. I'll probably say 3-1. If you're kind of like listening, if you're tuning in, you can give us your prediction over the phone. Just text a message through and we'll kind of like put your predictions out there. If you fail to do that and we could see somebody take the lead in the leaderboard. So that's G. If you're listening out there, just forward your predictions straight through to the kind of like hotline. So CV saying 2-1 City. I've gone for 3-1. We're waiting for G's prediction to come through. Now Arsenal,
they've got an easy game.
Well, I mean, you can say that there's no easy game in the Premiership. It's you know, but obviously, you know, Arsenal third in the table, Southampton 19th. You'd expect a home win. I'm expecting a home win.
I'm not looking at it.
But you've got some kind of like you've got Aaron Ramsden, remember, he signed for Southampton for 25 mil.
Is that the one who used to call fish and chips?
Yes, I am. The most famous Ramsden fish and chips. It's kind of like, you know, well, 25 million. Big dollars. And Ramsdale recently got snubbed. I use the word snubbed in the England squad. But what they said to him, they said, listen, get your game back on. Get settled at Southampton and then we'll give you a call. So it's up to Aaron to keep a few clean sheets. And let's hope that defence down there is giving him the most amount of protection.
At the moment, they're not, are they? They come in like fishing netting. So they just, you know, the balls are just flying through the holes there.
Aaron, you know that the nation's watching you on Saturday against, obviously, he'll know the strikers, he'll know the strengths.
Yeah, because he's been there, hasn't he?
Yeah, you'd expect him to be on his A game at the weekend.
I would agree with that as well.
And I think Southampton will be hoping for 0-0 at half time to try to frustrate Arsenal the much they can, bodies behind the ball, all that kind of stuff.
I think if they play with that defensive role and they get to half time, they've done well.
Yeah,
because I'd agree with that. I looked at Leicester last week. Leicester were 2-0 down to them and then they came back and they got 2-2.
Mm-hmm.
And then Arsenal, like I said, that's the reason why I said Arsenal are going to be a handful this year, because in the 94th minute they scored to make it 3-2. So they still, you know what I'm saying, is a couple of years ago that would have ended up 2-2, but they battled and they got back and made it, you know, made it 3-2, and then in the end, I think they made it 4-2.
So Arsenal against Southampton, I would probably say I can see Arsenal banging in 3 against their ex-goalkeeper, and I would go for 3. I would go for 3. I'd go for 3-0 quite easy. You know? What are you saying?
Is it what? You're saying
Yeah, I'd say kind of like 3-0 to Arsenal.
I would say yes, around that.
Mm-hmm.
Around that, I would say I can't see. I really can't see. I can't see Southampton causing. Arsenal problems.
I mean, people are cussing their manager at the moment, but it's not his fault. I think obviously it depends how much cash the club is willing to spend on players. And like what we said, I think when a team goes up, I think they're more kind of like cautious these days. And probably, I think we've seen. I think the days have gone. Maybe the days have gone when teams go up and they're splashing 7 to 80 million on rebuilding their side. I think them days might have gone. And I think this modern day is to build 2 steps forward, 1 step back. And like I said, the 1 step back is relegation, you know?
I would say, yeah, definitely. I'd say Southampton look like they're doomed already. And we're not even halfway through the season, are we? And I would say Southampton are doomed already.
True. I'd go ahead with that every day of the week. Dip into the Championship. Blades entertain Luton Town.
Where's that? Is that at home?
Yeah, it's at home.
All right.
3rd v 20th in the league. I mean, each game comes with its different challenges. And like I said, you know, I did text the team, you know, the team kind of like G, yourself and Mo, and I just said that Sheffield United was splashing the minutes out on players. Different challenges, obviously. We saw Campbell. That's Kevin Campbell's son, the late Kevin Campbell, who passed away recently. His son played up front for United, and he had some good chances in front of goal. He had about three chances, I can remember. The first one was a good kind of pile drive, low shot, which the keeper managed to save and, you know, made it look easy, but it was a good skill. And then he hit the bar with another shot. Somehow, to me, it looked like he misconnected it and he fired it into the ground. It was like a half volley. Fired it into the ground, bounced up over the keeper, onto the post. And the third shot was quite similar. I think with a little bit more control, he might have got his name on the score sheet. And I know it's easy for me to say that. I was in on the cop watching the game. But obviously, while for those who have played football, you know, people say, oh, yeah, you should have scored that one and this one. But, you know, maybe got a little bit excited, you know, in front of the cop, especially the last two. But, yeah. And then, you know, I think United hit the post a couple of times, actually. So, yeah, it was...
So it sounds like...
It was a 1-0.
It sounds like United did all right, really. But yeah, they played
all right. I think if they did them two shots what hit the post and hit the bar, if they did have gone in, I think United scoreline probably might have flattered them a little bit, because not taking anything away from Swansea, they caused problems.
They did. And
and they played some really good football.
Right.
I thought, and like I said, people would maybe disagree with me, I thought they was the better footballing side,
right.
Swansea.
Okay.
And played some really good football. They just didn't have that quality in the final third. It's, you know, and you could say that probably about any team. Do you know what I mean? Pretty football. The quality, not in the final third, but it was really the case. And they will cause many a team a problem,
right.
Swansea. Yeah.
Okay.
I would expect Swansea to be, maybe they could pinch a sixth spot, maybe between sixth and eighth. I would tip them. But you know, going back to Blades against Luton, Luton will come with the player that I talked about a couple of weeks ago, who they've got, powerful striker they've got.
Oh, the black guy up front?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, I've seen him. I've seen him. He played it out. He's the one who scored against us when they were in the Premiership last year.
And he looked
fairly good, but from what I'm seeing now at the moment, the team doesn't look like, I don't know, they just don't look like they've got it together in the Championship. They really don't look like it at all, because I'm looking at them and they're down near the bottom there. Nah, they shouldn't be down there. They've just dropped out of the Premiership. They should be doing a lot better than that.
Yeah, I agree with you. Victor Moses, that's the guy. That's the guy's name.
Oh, Victor Moses.
Big Victor.
From Chelsea.
Yeah, and he scored one the other day again for his new side. Former Chelsea and Nigerian winger. Left Spartan Moscow in the summer and joined Luton on a freebie. I think he's a kind of powerful guy that Sheffield United could probably do with, really. Just to kind of push. If Kiefer Moore gets injured or whatever, then you've got an ideal replacement, in Victor. But I think, for me, Sheffield United against Luton, I'd take a 2-1.
Yeah, you should be looking at a win.
I'd take a 2-1.
Yeah.
But, don't let that league position fool you out there, because Luton will be looking to make their way up the league. And I think it's going to be bodies behind the ball. I think it's going to be a cagey first half, like most of the games at Bramall Lane. And then you'd expect United to kick on in the second half. And, I'd go for a 2-1. A good... To keep that winning momentum going. What score do you predict?
I think United might get a 2-0. I think United might get a 2-0, because with the scores that have been coming in from Luton, I don't see them causing you that much problems.
Well, let's hope you're right. Let's hope you're right. Coventry City, they entertain the Owls. Robbins, he's been there forever and a dear.
He has.
Mark Robbins.
And do you know what?
Wow.
I think he's been quite a successful manager for them. I think he's done quite a few things for them. And I've got a workmate. Well, I've got two. One supports Coventry and one supports Wednesday. And they're both going to the game. And I was listening to them today at work. Right, I was listening today, and my Coventry guy was saying, he was really bigging up himself. He was like saying, if the team that turns up, what turned up against them, I think it was, who did they play midweek? They played somebody midweek.
Oh, Coventry?
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
He won. So if that team turns up, he says he doesn't give Wednesday no chance.
Going back to Mark Robbins, are you surprised he's been there? Did he come there straight from Rotherham United?
I'm not sure.
I'm surprised Robbins hasn't sort of. I mean, no disrespect to Coventry and their supporters, and because like CV saying they've done a wicked job. And have been very, very close to the playoffs. In fact, going up last season. I think Robbins could. I think this may be Robbins' last season at Coventry. I think he could manage like a West Brom or something like that. He could do a Southampton. Surely he can't do any worse than what's going off there now. He could even take over Sheffield Wednesday.
Listen,
you know what I mean?
He could even go down at Old Trafford and take over Old Trafford, because right now they need somebody, don't they?
That's
anybody
true.
They need somebody who can direct them in the right way. Because right now, you know, that team has had it. But anyway, true. I don't want to go on them too much. Let's just concentrate on the other rubbish team as well. I mean, sorry, the other team from Sheffield. Let's concentrate on them.
Yeah. Coventry against Sheffield kind of Wednesday. Big game for both kind of teams. Sheffield Wednesday, you know, just got through that a game against West Brom last week, 3-2. And it was 2-0 up at one time, weren't there? And they had a big scare. The defence was really shaky. And I think with Robbins's nounce, he could exploit that with Coventry and twist up them a little bit. So, a prediction for me, I'll go for a home win. And I know people might say, oh, do you know what? This guy's biased, man. He don't paint Wednesday in a good light. But I'm just talking from the heart. You know what I mean? And a prediction is a prediction. It doesn't mean that, like, it's the end of the world.
Correct.
So just ease off.
Yeah.
Just back off. You set the intention and just relax.
You can't say that. At the end of the day, your prediction is your prediction, like mine's mine. I believe Coventry City will win, 2-0? I believe they'll win 2-0.
I'm sticking with that. 2-0 also as well. I'm sticking with that. I've just kind of like just splashed out some rock bun with you know, my kind of Caribbean little twist in a dem little recipe. So if you don't hear CV chatting soon, you know that his mouth is full up a rock bun, yeah, with the fruit just soaked and steamed with rum, brandy.
Oh my god. Yeah, I need port. I need some kind of tonic.
So, just excuse while I'm just take a little commercial break and just mad up the rock bun then. And I'm jab one. Just I twist them up. You understand?
Oh my god.
Oh. Coventry City 2, Sheffield Wednesday 0. And like I said, if you've just kind of tuned in, you can catch this on the net. Just Google Sweet Talking Sport, and once you get there, just scroll down and you'll see all the kind of shows what we've been blasting out on a Friday evening. If I was you, I'd click on the right hand side because it says listen now. You don't really want to download it, just listen now, just go direct and just listen to it. All the shows are on there. Well, you know, we started off the show. I'm just gonna just kind of do some recovery now. We started on the show talking about Mark Townsend, who sadly passed away during a game at Hillsborough last week. Enough love going out to his friends and family out there. And also, just going to send some kind of like respect to the Sheffield Wednesday supporter who set up a FundMe page. Schumacher has been seen in public for the first time in about a decade, attended his daughter's wedding in Mallorca. Schumacher, like I said, who had that fatal kind of like injury in the snow. Again, we're talking probably about a decade ago. And Marcus Stewart, big kind of player for Ipswich Town in Sunderland. He played for other sides like Bristol City as well, and became kind of like head of development at Yeovil Town, and probably because of the era when he played football, like CV said, there was probably strikers ahead in the pecking order. So sadly, he didn't get to put on that white shirt for England. You know, so yeah, there you had it on Sweet Talking Sport, going into the last kind of like 5 minutes of the show. And like we said, we put a call out for the man called G, but unfortunately, I think he's missed the deadline to get his prediction in. So we could actually pick up points and leave the man called G in a gutter.
Trap.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Ending of the day, right? But it's not to fall out with. It's just a little, you know, messing about thing, isn't it, really? You know what I mean? Can't take it serious. Listen, you look like your mouth, You can't eat it quick enough. See, my man, he's sat across from me and he's yamming some rat bun right now. You can see it, mouth is just twist up. I'm telling you, he's yamming that rat bun, serious. Lord have mercy.
And I bought actually three and there was one for G.
You can't leave them the kind of rat bun for G, because, you know, G, he's not too good at the moment, but, so we have to devour the rat bun.
But you know who devoured it?
Yeah. Yeah. The man himself. Mr. Oki Pierre. Oh my God. Well, this show's been a bit steady for me today, because the voice hasn't been too good. But as it says, the show must go on.
That's right, the show must go on. Like I said, I thought he was an imposter in the studio, but he was actually CV. I thought he was going to try to do some impersonations. Now, how long has the voice been like that, see?
I got up this morning, and for some reason, it just started to fade. And obviously, in the job that I do, it hasn't made it all that good, really. It hasn't made it any better, because, you know, I have to talk a lot and whatever. So it's made it a little bit worse, to be honest. But like a trooper that I am, I still come true. You know what I mean? I still come true and try my best. Now, I know we've had a little comment off our other brethren, our brethren G, and he said that, you know, the voice hasn't been not coming through too good. But, like I said, I'm a trooper, and I come through.
That's it, and, yeah, well, you've been listening to Sweet Talking Sport on 93.2. We're kind of like closing the show with a Beresford Ammon tune. So just relax to this one.
Just before, you do know that it's England International next week, innit? So I don't know what you think today. I haven't really seen it. I've heard little bits about it, but I've heard about the squad, what they've picked, and that. And really, they've gone back to the normals, haven't they? They've gone back to the normals, because some people are saying that Harry Kane shouldn't be in it now. He should be dropped and Watkins.
But they're saying that his time's done.
Yeah,
is that what he's saying?
Watkins, he should be in there now. But, I mean, at the end of the day, Harry Kane, you know, he has been a good servant to England.
That's true. That's true. Whether it's Kane's time to step aside, only time will tell. But as from me, I'm out of here. CV.
Well, sorry about that, people, about the voice, but, you know.
Give thanks.
Adios.